Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Kaf Beis B'Mal Cheshvan, Parashas Chayei Sara, Tavshinayin Zion, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 22 November 2016, webcasting from the modern state of Israel with its deceptive flag. Sort of like copyright infringement, the Star of David between two stripes, modeled on the stripes in a talit, a prayer shawl. The star is the symbol of arguably the best-selling poet of all time, whose poems are mostly about God and Israel and his relationship to Jewish individuals. And of course, the shawl with its tassels signifying the 613 commandments given by the God of the Jews, both are symbols of the core Jewish identity, which is a religious identity. And it's right there in the first words of the Torah Sinai, in the beginning, God. Schools of journalism, I believe they teach the importance of the lead sentence to a story. And for my money, the first sentence of the Bible is the greatest lead sentence ever. It begins with God and thus announces to the reader that if this idea is unacceptable to the reader, he should stop right there. This book's not for him. But if he does believe in the first verse, then he'll believe the following one, and the one after, and the one after that, etc. Indeed, even the post-religious founders of this state that adopted the Zionist flag as the state flag, when they penned their Declaration of Independence, they staked their claim to this land on the Bible. It's the deed to this land. It's a religious deed. But man is by nature a rebel. God said to Adam and Eve, don't eat from that tree, and that's exactly what they did, so it's not surprising that the founders of Israel, simultaneously to taking their claim to independence on the Bible, then proceeded to ignore it to this very day in so many ways. Take the case of a top story in Israel's morning newspapers. Yesterday, our judges, high court judges, perched way up there on their Mount Olympus of Greek-based culture, not on Mount Sinai for them, they have blocked the installation of the newly appointed chief rabbi in the IDF, Colonel Eyal Karim, Rabbi Karim, because he once explicated verses in the Torah seeming to license the rape of Gentile women captured in war. This was 4 years ago, and when some protested at the time, he made clear in his words by saying, quote, obviously the Torah never permitted the rape of women, and the biblical verse in Deuteronomy about female captives was meant to prevent rape during wartime. It is clear that in our times, in which the world has progressed to an ethical state, in which one does not wed female captives, it is certain that this law cannot be utilized, and further, that it totally contradicts the values and regulations of the army, close quote. Now, though, he might add that with the rise of ISIS, man has regressed, so that a believer in the one true faith of Islam these days believes he has the right to capture, rape, and force non-Muslim girls to be his wives. He also, the rabbi, in other comments, compared homosexuals, I'm reading here from the J-Post story, to ill people or disabled people. He said homosexuals should fight against their sexual orientation. He also said that women should not give testimony because they are too sensitive, and said an injured terrorist should be killed. Well, I'll drink to that. I've said that myself. Quote, a source close to Rabbi Karim said, Rabbi Karim has explicitly clarified many times that there are Jewish laws that are not in practice in our times, and the rabbi has clarified that rape is an illegitimate action that is not permitted, close quote. But never mind, the High Court responded to a petition from an NGO of post-Jews to stop his appointment because he advocated rape and thinks there's something wrong with homosexuals. This is a replay of last webcast, no? That was about Rabbi Shlomo Amar's interview last Friday, in which he also said just about the same thing. Sodomites should resist their desire. And it's no coincidence in both Hebrew dailies this morning, Yediot and Yisrael Hayom, both front pages feature the same two stories. One concerned Rabbi Karim, and the other, the IDF's armored corps, or maybe it's armored corpse, according to Barack Hussein, They're thinking of mixed-sex crews in tanks now. There are, and have been for a time, female infantry combat soldiers, and this is the next step. In the 1973 Yom Kippur War, one Armored Corps hero on the Golan was Avigdor Kahalani, now long retired. Well, he voiced his objection. In general, he said, he thinks women should be mothers, not combat soldiers. And other veterans of the Armored Corps are also shaking their heads because they cannot envision the close quarters of the inside of a tank for two young men and two young women, sometimes for 24 hours and more at a stretch. Is it just me, but have you also noticed that this business of mixing the sexes in various ways is in every story these days? Look at the American election. For the majority of the voters, Mrs. Clinton's most important asset, drawing votes, was her womb, not her head or heart or record of achievement and failures. Hillary, forever in a pantsuit, is also rumored to have a female lover. Consider the fracas as well 3 weeks ago at the Western Wall on Rosh Chodesh, the first of the month, when a party of Jews trying to force the mixing of sexes in prayer, Gentile style. Is this not the essence of the women of the wall, for whom praying next to men is their fondest wish and goal? They want men and women to be in the same space when praying. There's no difference between men and women in their eyes. This is the generation of Bruce Jenner, anatomically male, wearing women's clothes. The age of gay marriage, in which two people of the same sex pretend that one is the male and the other the female wife. In the MSM these days, male actors and artists shamelessly will speak of their husbands, who of course in return call them their wives and use the pronoun she. And of course in these news stories this morning in Israel about the Armored Corps considering mixed crews in a tank, and the chief rabbi of the army sounding just like rabbis for thousands of years who reject these fashionable Hellenistic pleasure of men sodomizing men as if they were women. This is what's going on in society. I think the world's going crazy. I think to a large extent the hysteria in the States among the loser Clintonites, hysteria being a mental disorder etymologically rooted in the Latin word for womb, is a sexual madness. The Trump haters, in need of playrooms and hot chocolate, are having some kind of hysterical reaction to the defeat of Hillary Clinton, who they believe was defeated because of her womb, and only that. Her supporters, among the opinionators in the mainstream media, spoke of the glass ceiling still being there. That's an injustice. That all those Trump voters hate women, and that's why they voted as they did. It had nothing to do with this woman's performance as Secretary of State, who not only helped Obama turn the Middle East into a bloody chaos, but allowed pretty much the whole world to hack into her department's communications, and never mind the influence peddling of her office used to enrich herself and her hubby to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. No, people voted against her because they don't want a woman to be equal to a man. I ended the webcast last Thursday with the thought that the political categories of left and right are no longer applicable. The idea of the left arose in the 1790s during the French Revolution when the Jacobins, forerunners of modern Stalinists, and the hardest of the left who preached the extreme rejection of conventional social norms, sat on the left side in the French Assembly. They were the ones who also used the guillotine to lop off thousands of heads of people they judged to lack sufficient revolutionary vertu. They didn't have the proper attitude, the right virtue. Yeah, they sat on the left side of the French Assembly. A political term was born, but now I believe it has morphed into something completely different.
No. טובה, אוטוטו משיח בא, רק תהיה בשמחה, תן שמחה לנשמה. מה יש, אהלים את עצמם, אויבים רוצים לחל אותם, אבל זאת יודעים כולם, יש בורא לעולם.
Started out two centuries standing for mostly economic affairs in the language of the Marxists. What mattered most in society was who owns the means of production, who owns the factories. Should it be the fat cat capitalists or the common man, the proletariat, the people without property, the people? Of course the people should own the factories, and they should be led by the vanguard of the people, namely the Communist Party. That was so virtuous, society needed no other parties. Socialism at its most aggressive meant the nationalization of industry and really all business. That is what the Arab socialists, the Baathists in Syria, did when they seized power in 1970. They nationalized all business, all banks. This is what Castro did, more or less, when he took power in 1959. He is one of the heroes of the communist jihadi in the Oval Office. Surely part of Obama's legacy will be the opening of relations with Cuba, a regime rightly shunned by all American presidents for half a century, regardless of party. Being on the left used to stand for, in the words of the demagogue anti-Jew race hustler Jesse's Action, economic equality. At its most extreme, socialism meant the commune, as in the Israeli kibbutz, where nobody had more money than his neighbor, where money never exchanged hands between the chaverim, the members. One doubts that King Billy the Kinky Clinton, when he shed a tear over the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin and called him in Hebrew his chaver, his friend, I doubt he knew that it's also the modern Hebrew word for comrade, let alone that Rabin had been raised by two ardent communists, which led him toward the Oslo abomination as a way of casting off all the places religious Jews care about. But now, with the collapse of socialism as a theory and a practice, what the left has become is no longer an economic ideology, but a sexual one. Hence the mass hysteria. When Lady Macbeth Clinton lost, it's an ideology of feeling about sex and the revolutionary need to erase the differences between the sexes. If the left once dreamed of ending the distinction between rich and poor, now it's between male and female. I almost forgot. In addition to today's quarrel over the composition of tank crews and the negative views of sodomy, the classical IDF rabbi chosen to be the chief rabbi of the force stands for, last week the MSN here did a story on, I think, a new nightclub performer, an ex-yeshiva boy whose shtick is making up half of his face as a woman and wearing a wig on that side of his head, or he has let his hair grow on that side. It wasn't clear. There was a photograph of him. A 50-50 boy, as they used to do in the sideshows. The blessing of homosexual activity, which is a perverse imitation of normal sexual relations between a man and a woman, is more of this drive to mix and mix up the sexes. Here was this semi-drag queen projecting the image simultaneously of being both male and female. A hermaphrodite, even though there never has been such a human being. There are, I think, statistically insignificantly so, a percentage of birth defects in which the reproductive organs are confused. It's not clear, but there's never been, as far as I know, a human being born with both a womb, ovaries and fallopian tubes, a vagina, and a working complement of male member and testicles, and certainly no such human being capable of relations with himself, herself, from which a normal baby has been born and grew to be a normal adult. It's a fantasy produced in the human mind that does not conform to the real world. That's why it is a fantasy. In sum, the project of mixing up the sexes, of denying the differences between them as not only the plumbing, but the experience of being one or the other. The fantasy of there being such a thing as gender, when there's no evidence of such an organ in the human body. At its most deranged, this state of affairs has a man walking into a psychiatrist's office declaring he really is a woman inside, when there's no evidence of that, and he receives the psychiatrist's approval that indeed there's nothing wrong with his mind, it's his body that is wrong. And I say this is madness. These two front page stories in Israel today were just the latest facets of the same craziness that classical Jewishness refuses to go along with. War hero Avigdor Kahalani said girls should be mothers, not combat soldiers, and for sure the Hellenistic enlightened Israeli now dismisses him as a Neanderthal bigot. Rabbi Karim also, as noted, spoke of the traditional Jewish objection to women as witnesses because they are so sensitive. That was the translation. In the Hebrew, the word is from the root for feeling, and on that score, I can understand the classical opinion. I think a year ago, when the U.S. Supreme Court blessed same-sex marriage, it would not have without the three women judges voting in that direction. It never would have happened if it was all men for these women. If Harry loves Gary and Gary loves Harry, who are we to deprive them of their love? An inclination to mercy is not a virtue in a judge. It was interesting to see today how the two major tabloids featured these two same stories, different facets of the same craziness. For the conservative newspaper Israel Hayom, that's the free newspaper sponsored by Sheldon Adelson, the arrogant high court assuming the right to overrule the IDF's choice for chief rabbi and demanding an explanation for him was featured. This rabbi who has been accused of supporting rape and opposing sexual deviance, that took center stage, the center of the front page in that newspaper, with the issue of mixed tank crews dealt with in half the size in column inches, versus Yediot's layout, which was basically the same, only inverted in terms of emphasis and space allotted. Seems the day does not go by these days without stories of the war on the sexually normal.
Shoot!
Listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. There was also more information today on Donald Trump's possible choice to head the DOD, the Defense Department. Marine General retired James Mattis. He appears to be a devotee of the famous Middle East expert John Kerry and the Baal Kerry's views of the land of the Jews. And that cannot be a good thing. Evidently, according to J-Post Michael Wilner in the States, Mattis is of the opinion that the current dynamic with the Palestinians is, quote, unsustainable. That's John Kerry talking, or rather, Matt Nindick talking through Kerry's mouth. One's the ventriloquist, the other his dummy. At the Aspen, Colorado Security Forum 3 years ago, Mattis said this has got to be addressed, warning that Israel risked becoming an apartheid state should the status quo continue. And I've long thought that anyone who links Israel with the word apartheid is an anti-Jew. John Kerry was taught to speak this way by his anti-Jew vizier, Matt Nindick, and here is Mattis sounding like the two of them. He said at Aspen, quote, "I paid a military security price every day as the commander of CENTCOM because the Americans were seen as biased in support of Israel, and that moderates, all the moderate Arabs who want to be with us, because they can't come out publicly in support of people who don't show respect for the Arab Palestinians." Michael Wilner said this is the position lauded by J Street. This is definitely a mind cluttered with anti-Jew cliches and accusations. Mattis said that he, that is the armed forces in the Middle East, that he commanded, paid a price every day for the support of the Jews who did not respect the Palestinians. Israel as a burden to the United States. Note, too, his use of the term moderate Arabs. As I note in my book, this expression is never accompanied by specific names. It's one of the verbal tools of today's anti-Jews to speak of moderates in the Arab world, but never give them names, let alone describe how much support they have in their communities and their countries. These moderates, of course, want peace with Israel, but Israel wants that. He said at Aspen, quote, "We have got to find a way to make the two-state solution that Democrat and Republican administrations have supported. We've got to get there, and the chances for it are starting to ebb because of the settlements," close quote. And there you have it. One wrong-headed anti-Jew cliche after another. Well, you can't win them all. If he's appointed, Israel can still live with that if the executive team includes not only President Trump, but Vice President Mike Pence and Rudy Giuliani and John Bolton in major positions, every one a pro-Israelite. Indeed, as I suggested last week, we could be in for an embarrassment of riches in the matter of Friends of Israel, never seen in any American administration since 1948. In this light, the news 2 days ago in YNetNews.com that France, in light of the incoming Trump administration, is on the verge, later denied, of canceling next month's planned multinational kangaroo court of anti-Jew states eager to brand the Jewish state a war criminal occupier of the Palestinian territories. I'd pay good money to be able to sit down with François Hollande and associates in Paris, planning this inquisition and condemnation, to ask them, what do you think you are doing? Israel is not planning an international conference to discuss the future of relations between France and Corsica. Who do you think you are, arrogating the right to pronounce on our future? Do you think you know our neighbors better than we do? Do you think, like Barack Obama, who thinks that he and John Kerry and Matt Nindick and Alan Dershowitz know better than us Israelis what is good for us? What is it to you, the disposition of Judea and Samaria? Whatever its future, it will change nothing in your lives as targets for destruction as a people by the Muslims in your midst. Actually, the right thing for France to do, I would tell them, is link arms with Israel in a common front of resistance to Muslim dreams of destroying all non-Muslim peoples. But as YNetNews.com reported, it looks as if France will have to call off its planned conference to decide the fate of the Jews in their historic homeland that they brought back to life, which continues to bug anti-Jew peoples like the French. Okay, that's it for this Tuesday, and I'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.